listening to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 23 of the Devi Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dwight Peebles. Dwight, outside in the gorgeous sunshine, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. Tomorrow's the last day of school for my son, and he's done with Ultimate Frisbee. He's only got soccer now, so it feels like our lives are just kind of settling back into maybe a little bit less hectic, and I'm all for that for the summer months. Just kind of relaxing, chilling, enjoying the podcasting.
That's funny. It's our last day too. So our last day for the last 3 years has fallen on my daughter's birthday. So my wife usually goes to school and picks up like seven of her friends on their last day of school. So it's usually kind of cool. It's become like a tradition now that I don't know how it's always fallen on the same day, but it has. So
That is weird because her birthday would not like be always on a Tuesday. I mean,
it was a Tuesday last year. I think the snow days obviously affect that. You know how that is. So, you know, that some days this is the end of the year, but we have snow days that shifted a little bit. So,
Either way, that makes sense. I hear you. All right. Well, the focus of this podcast is to get into Devi player value. Today, we're going to be discussing guys that we are avoiding based on their current ADP or their rankings. And then if we have time, we'll get into players that we're taking earlier than most managers are taking them. But if we don't, we'll just save that part until next week. So something to think about, you know, just in case we go a little long, we don't have to rush through this. Of course, before we get into today's topic, I want to make sure you know that you can gain access to the Rookie Big Board premium content at patreon.com/theffeducator. This includes dynasty rankings, Devi rankings, access to our engaging and active Discord channel, and the ability to ask us for personalized advice on trades, your roster, and more. So check it out. It's a fun Discord chat and hope to see you all in there. Be sure to say hi to all of us. Each one of the Rookie Big Board podcast hosts and analysts have our own little channel that you can ask us direct questions. So lots of fun, and you can ask us questions that have nothing to do with fantasy football if you really want to do that too, because why not? Talk to Anthony Carenti about music. He loves it. Not kidding. All right, so let's get into the first kind of group of guys that we're avoiding. Dwight, let's start with you. Who do you have on the list of guys that you're not touching any longer?
All right, mine's all going to come with a caveat, because I feel like a lot of my guys are guys that we've talked about recently as guys that are valuable. But it all comes down to the ADP and where they're going, you know. So I as far as quarterbacks, I'm really trying to watch if anybody's on the Devi deep dive in with Brandon Lejeune, you've noticed that he's gone starting to go away from quarterbacks and Devi in general. And I think that's probably, you know, when you get past the Bryce Youngs and the CJ Strouds, you know, the Quinn Ewers, I think it's probably a good strategy is to not be that guy stuck holding one of these super expensive guys that hasn't really shown anything yet. Guys like, as much as I love Tyler Buchner, I'm not going to pay his ADP as quarterback. He's going like the eighth and ninth quarterback off the board, which I don't want to pay that price for him. Like, it's too risky for what's on the board at that time. Guys like Anthony Richard, right in that area, Cameron Ward, as much as I love him, the same thing. I loved him when he was quarterback 30. I don't love him at quarterback 10. So like this price is causing me to be really nervous about those guys, you know, because ultimately more of them fail than hit by far, especially with quarterback. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there has got the statistics, but I'm sure that Devi quarterbacks, I would be willing to guess it's less than 15%, 20%, you know, these guys that actually hit. And then this last draft showed us a lot of that too, that the guys that we had been high on for so long. I don't want to be stuck holding the bag. I don't want to pay the price that these guys are going now. And it's with a caveat of if the price is right, go ahead and take them. You know, if Cameron Ward falls to the fifth round, I'll take him. You know, then we're talking. But I'm not going to pay the mid second, early third round price for some of these guys that are just unproven. So.
Yeah, I think you bring up some really good points there. You reminded me of a podcast I love to listen to, the Beerfield Fantasy Podcast. And those guys have a saying that I absolutely agree with, and that is, don't hate the player, hate the ADP. And make your decisions based on that and be flexible and be willing to make decisions, you know, based on value and how that changes. And what right. you're talking about is perfect in that regard, right? You love a guy when he's a 30th quarterback off the board, but now that he's going eighth or ninth, well, that changes things. And you're taking him a lot earlier in a draft versus some other guys that you might feel have a better odds of hitting. And I've talked about, you know, positional hit rates, and it doesn't even need a whole lot of aggressive math and analytics to figure it out, in my opinion. I mean, you look at, you know, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Not all 32 are going to provide great fantasy value. Although, you know, depending on your deep league and super flex, you can at least get something. But, you know, how many rookies come in and start providing fantasy points for your roster and provide value? I mean, not many. I mean, even last year, you know, 5 out of the first 15 picks, and then, you know, we're waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be good. We're waiting for Justin Fields to be good. We haven't seen Trey Lance. So 3 huge question marks. Wilson, also a big question mark. So ironically, the guy that we think is the safest is Mac Jones, who's the last guy taken. So yeah, I think the strategy here, and one that I'm going to start getting more into in my leagues, is I'm not going to shy away from quarterback altogether, like maybe Brandon is suggesting. I'm going to take the guy if it's the right spot. But then as the season progresses and, you know, he continues to do well and look good and value increases, or at least hold steady to where I got him, I'm going to see if I can move him and look for somebody that wants a Devy quarterback and see what I can get and just take my win at that point and not try to stretch that out and wait for the win to be defined as this guy's providing points on my dynasty roster. And a prime example of this is a couple of years ago, I grabbed DJ Uiagalelei as a incoming freshman. He showed enough his freshman season for everybody to get excited, and boom, he's a top 3 Devy quarterback in next year's draft. And now he's completely gone in the tank and nobody's taking him anywhere right. near that. Now he's a flyer at the end of deeper drafts. So, you know, had I decided to trade him for value that after that rookie season or freshman season, man, I'd have been really pleased with that. So, you know, kind of,
yeah. So yours feeds right. Yours piggybacks right off of mine. So what are you looking to avoid right now?
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was going to say. And it's freshman quarterbacks, you know, unless you're in a really deep league where all the quarterbacks have been exhausted and they're gone, then sure, I'll take a shot. Obviously I'm talking Devy here, not Campus to Canton. That's a whole nother, you know, argument and discussion, but you know, the freshman quarterbacks, they just so rarely do anything their first season. And it's such a tough hit that I'd rather just take a chance at the deeper, you know, if I'm going to go freshman, you know, hit the running backs, hit the wide receivers and take my chance there, even with guys that, you know, that aren't at the top of the lists, and see what happens, you know. And I that's why I have them on my list. And to stick with the quarterback position, I named a specific guy entirely, and that's a Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami. And he's starting to get, you know, some first round pub now. And so I'm thinking, hey, that's fantastic. I'm gonna trade him while people think he's a potential first round pick, and I'm gonna see what I can get for Van Dyke instead of paying up for him now. And now the only way that I get anything out of it is if he actually does get first round draft capital.
Right. I love it. I actually had TBD on there on my list too, but I figured we'd cover him when we talk. So let's see here. So then we'll pivot to the running backs now. The running backs, it kind of also falls into that. And I'm even going to make this a little more general. I think I'm going to start this is a bold take. I don't know if I want to invest in Alabama and Georgia running backs anymore. Like, I just get tired of the, if you think about the ones we've invested over the years in that have not panned out, you know, like how many has there been with Alabama? Jace McClellan, Trey Sanders, you know, you can get these guys like Kendall Milton for Georgia. You know, these guys that are the factories that are turning five-star running back after five-star running back after five-star running back. I'm tired of playing the game with that, the roulette game, you know, of who's going to start, who's going to play, who's going to be this guy, you know? So don't look down at my players we're taking, because I do have a Georgia guy down there. But anyways, so I'm speaking in one side of my mouth and out the other. Anyways, you know how it is. But no, I'm starting to get a little worried about guys like McClellan and Milton and guys that, once again, are getting – they get that high draft capital in our Devy drafts, and they haven't done anything. And they're in crowded situations where you never know who's going to emerge out of there. And now with the transfer portal, it's even dicier, because I thought Jace McClellan, this was his year, and then they bring in Jameer Gibbs. Why did I say that? So anyways, I'm starting to get a little worried about these teams that have the crowded backfields like that. I'd much rather have, obviously, a Bijan who's got a clear shot. You know, even like a Devin Neal from Kansas who has a clear shot to playing time. You know, Raheem Sanders, same thing. Clear path to playing time. You know, I want to see those guys that I know I can rely on. And I think I'd much rather gamble on those guys, especially in the top couple rounds. I put Montrell Johnson on there. He's a guy that's kind of getting a little buzz. You probably still get him later, but I still think it's also kind of a scary place to have the buzz, because Florida has never really committed to a running back as long as I can remember. So he's kind of going up the Devy charts, and he's another guy I'm scared of. So just guys, I want players that are in better situations, and I think maybe I'll take a little bit of a hit on pedigree, you know, the four-star, the five-star. I think I'd rather have a high three-star, low four-star that has a clear path to playing time. You can see what you've got, you know, so I don't know. I'm getting kind of to where I'm a little more hesitant to gamble on guys that are in unclear situations, especially at running back.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because while we've talked about, you know, these colleges that are, you know, wide receiver factories, and don't be fading a guy like a Chris Olave because he was third on his team in stats, you know, in production. But it's like, hey, you can have three guys at wide receiver or more, even from some of these guys that all end up with first round draft capital. That's a lot tougher sell at running back. I mean, typically it's going to be the one guy that's getting the majority of the work for that team. And, you know, like you said, if you're looking at Alabama and they're bringing in a minimum of one four-star or better running back every single season, you gotta be patient if you're gonna take them. I mean, I think the film needs to tell you that you think the guy is special and he's going to get his shot, and you just got to be, you know, patient that he'll get it eventually. And he has to have that mold, or that, you know, those measurables that really suggest he can be a dominant or a workhorse kind of running back at the NFL level, right? If this guy looks dynamic and he's highly rated by 247 Sports, but he's, you know, 5'10", 180 pounds, it's like, okay, you know, what is this guy's ceiling when he gets to the NFL? Sure, he can get a little bigger, but I mean, 175, 180 pounds in high school, that's alarming. Yet a guy like Branson Robinson going to Georgia, coming in, you know, 5'10", 5'11", he's already 220. And you look at the film, you say, wow, this guy is a beast. And he's athletic. He's got all the traits that you want in a power, you know, give me the ball constantly type of back, you know, 250 carries plus in the NFL. Then I'm a little more willing to be patient on a guy like that. So I think, yeah, you gotta play that situation. But I liked your examples of guys that you're a little more willing to go for, you know, the Raheem Sanders or Sean Tucker. You know, I'm gonna talk about a couple of guys that I'm specifically avoiding. And it's not necessarily because I think they have no shot of being successful in the NFL. It's more, again, just where they're going in drafts that I'm in, and it's just too high. And the first guy on my list is the running back out of Wisconsin, Braylon Allen. And man, he is going really high in drafts. I mean, almost where you're, you know, he has to be in these people's tier two of running backs. And I'm just not quite sold on him yet. When I watch his film, you know, watch him play, man, it there's some things that concern me. Like, all right, he's playing in Wisconsin, which always kicks out good running back production. So you gotta pick out the traits of his game that you either like or dislike to really do a good job of analyzing his Devy value. And I think people are falling in love with the size. They're falling in love with production. And I don't know if you knew this, Dwight, but last year when he was playing, he was only 17 years old. So
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Right. So I just want to mention that. And again, I'm not saying Braylon Allen is a good running back. I'm saying he's going too high for me. I mean, I think I mentioned this before in a startup I was in, he was the 11th Devy player taken. And that's just too high in that league. The other guy might want to hit the old mute button there, Mr. Hicks, running back Zach Charbonnet, UCLA. And I think part of this is the fact that he didn't come out in the NFL this year. And I thought he showed some things last year at UCLA that was like, okay, I see why some people like him, especially Hicks. But then, you know, he stays in school and it's one less year. And, you know, these running back, their shelf life, I mean, it isn't long. I mean, when they hit the 27-year-old mark, it can go downhill in a hurry. And by not going pro, he not only took out one less year of his NFL career in that prime, you know, physical shape, you know, window, but now he's put himself into the 2023 class. And that class is just loaded with top end talent. So I feel like that could impact his draft stock as well. So that's why I find myself not going after Zach Charbonnet.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a Charbonnet fan. So I don't like wine though. So I take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, sorry. That was terrible.
I love it. Nothing's bad. I love it. All right. Let's get into wide receivers.
You're going to love this. The more research I do by, I don't, okay. I don't do research. I read what other people research because I hate analytics. Not that I hate analytics. I just don't have time. I really honestly don't have time to add analytics to the things I do in my life. And I would love to. So I just read what other people read. And I think I'm starting to become a little more apprehensive of these guys that are this size. The size of the wide receivers is more important, I think, as we come along. Now, they don't have to be 6'4", 200 pounds. I mean, you don't have to be Treylon Burks. But these guys, the one that scares me more than any right now is Xavier Worthy, because he is going off the board as the third or fourth wide receiver, and he is 6'1", 160 pounds. I mean, he makes Devontae Smith look like a stud. Like, he is a string bean. he is a stringy little dude. Not that even if he puts on 20 pounds, he's still 6'1", 180. I mean, which is still better, but it's still not great. You know, and guys like JoJo Earl that are 5'10", 175, Downs, Josh Downs, who I love, 5'10", 180. I'm just starting to become a little bit more apprehensive of these guys at the price where they're going is more of what it is. The NFL has shown that the guys of any size can succeed. You know, you can be a smaller wide receiver and be very successful, but I'm also a little worried that, you know, these guys are going to get to their weigh-ins and they're going to, you know, measure at 5'10" or 5'7" or 5'8", you know, and then they're going to just plummet down the draft boards, you know? So I'm a little more apprehensive about these guys that are, you know, that tweener size, you know, that are, I guess it's not even tweener, is it really? They're small enough to where they're going to be put in the slot, which isn't a death sentence, but it is definitely harder to become a fully successful wide receiver one in the slot. So it's another thing is price tag, ADP. I don't know if I can do it. Now, if Worthy fell to the seventh or eighth wide receiver on the board, you know, I'll take a shot. Same with Downs. I love Downs. I think he's going to be successful, but I'm also a little apprehensive about what he can do at the next level. So I'm starting to, I definitely like that we're getting more wide receivers in the 6 foot, you know, 180 to 200 pound range. I love that size. I think those are going to be the guys that are more successful these days. You know, the guys like Kayshon Boutte and Jaxon Smith-Njigba both fall, you know, pretty much in that range. So I like that guys, like those guys, because they're guys that can play inside, can play outside, you know, can stretch the field, can also work the sidelines. You know, they can do a little bit of everything, which is what the most successful NFL receivers are doing. So I'm just trying to be a little more apprehensive with the size of wide receivers and where they're going. So,
yeah, that's a great point. There was a podcast, and I wish I could remember who did it, but they basically broke down the thresholds for height and weight at each of the positions, you know, really focused, I think, more on running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And it was a really good podcast, because it was basically talking about, you know, just what are the success rates for guys that are, you know, under a certain height or under a certain weight. You know, running back, it was more weight based. You know, if a guy is under 200 pounds, these are the types of players that have hit, but you know, it's a pretty small list over the course of the last 5 to 10 years, right. You know, and wide receiver, I don't know what the height limit was, but, you know, just thinking off the top of your head, you know, how many wide receivers are 5'9" or less and provide really good fantasy stats? My guess is that list is as small as their height, and you got to be careful there. I think if they can come in at 5'10", you know, if JoJo Earl and Downs are a true 5'10", then I'm fine with them weighing 175, yeah, 180 pounds. Right. But it's like you said, if they get measured at the combine and all of a sudden they're 5'8", it's like, well, that's awfully short. Right. I mean, that's tough. Now you've got to be extremely athletic and just continuously create ridiculous amounts of separation before you're going to get a lot of targets. You know, now we're getting down into the, well, you better be a freak athlete like Tyreek Hill,
right,
or it you're not going to be, you know, you're just going to have a limited ceiling. So, you know, and I think we're seeing that with Rondale Moore in Arizona. I mean, mm-hmm, he is a great athlete and he's strong, yeah, he's for phenomenal. His size,
so but Rondale, yeah,
you know, he's getting, you know, his average depth of target, I think, is the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's just awful. So yeah, that's,
I guess. Yeah, I kind of wanted to tie my three together, you know, before you go over your last little bit here, that, you know, that I want to, I guess in Devy leagues, especially with 5 to 10 man rosters, you want to minimize your risk as much as possible, you know, so all three of these that I've talked about, and, you know, all three categories that I've, is you're betting on outliers when you're going for those guys, you know, that I've talked about. You can still take them, but most likely it's going to be, like you said, it's a freak occurrence that they succeed, you know? So I think as when you have a Devy squad, it's a little bit different. If you got 15, 20 man Devy rosters, you know, by all means take more risks, you know, but if you've got 5 to 8, you know, I want to minimize my risks as much as possible.
Yeah. And, you know, to give a comp to one of your guys, you know, Xavier Worthy, he's definitely going in the top five of wide receivers in Devy drafts. Why not wait and take a Quentin Johnston from TCU, who's not only taller, but a little bit heavier. I mean, 6'4", 193, according to, you know, Sports Reference. And he's 1 year closer to the NFL. I mean, for me, that's a no-brainer. Although, you know, if I'm sitting on Xavier Worthy, man, now's the time to sell, and you're going to have a big sell window, because you can trade him now and you're going to get huge value once the season starts. And he's, you know, I'm assuming going to put up, you know, big numbers with Texas and Quinn Ewers, you know, bam, value is going to continue to at least hold steady. If not, you know, by the time the next wide receiver class goes pro, he could be some people's wide receiver one. And so, you know, you don't need to panic and get rid of him now, but, you know, it is a good point, you know, take what you can get and take your win. And I think, you know, we talked about that with the quarterbacks, you know, where it's kind of coming up here again with wide receivers. And I think that's, you know, one of the messages to Devy managers out there is, you know, don't be afraid to move your Devy players when they have a nice value spike, and to get something that you can count on, you know, whether it's an NFL player, you know, it's someone that maybe you feel can help your roster win not only now, but for the next 2 to 3 seasons, and just take the value now. And I think I am just as guilty of this as a lot of people out there. You get these guys, you draft them, they're sitting on your taxi squad, And man, you just talk yourself into thinking, I am set. These guys are going to be awesome. And you don't want to move them and you overvalue them. And I think we need to be willing to move those players and get good, you know, dynasty NFL players to help our team. The other, you know, generalization I'm going to make here with my next example, my guy at wide receiver, Ajay Hall, who transferred to Texas. And that's any player that has repeated red flags. And the only reason that he seems to be getting talked about is for off the field stuff and not, you know, production. And I know we've talked about, you know, Evans from the running back from Ole Miss. I think I got that right. I'm spacing right now,
yeah.
You know, but he's had some minor things, but I wouldn't call them red flags. The behavioral stuff and the work ethic stuff with the Jai Hall is enough of a red flag for me where, man, I'm out and I will move him if I can in any league. I might wait till he starts playing and just hope that he looks good and then try to take my win. But you know, again, you said it best, you know, minimizing risk. This is another example of doing that. You know, why take a player that he's already had issues? He had issues at Alabama, and man, you know, say what you want about Saban, but the guy coaches and he kicks out NFL talent. Oh, yeah. And if you're already, you know, being a character issue there or a work ethic issue, that's a huge problem. So that's why I'm saying I'm out on him specifically, but I'm sure there are the other guys in the league where it's like, you know what, I'll avoid that and just go with somebody that I think is a safer bet.
Right. I like it, man. So what about tight ends, man? Like, I don't, I didn't put any on my sheet, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. So what's your strategy with tight ends?
You know, I've said for years that I'm not drafting a tight end in Devy because they're so hard to hit on unless the tight end just seems like a can't miss player, you know, where he's almost guaranteed first round draft capital. And it's not even an or, it's an and. I'm in a tight end premium or a two tight end league, a start two tight end league, because right. Otherwise I just don't think that there's really enough value in drafting these guys. I mean, you know, playing this out, you know, let's say, you know, Michael Meyer, you know, people love him. I love him. I think he's going to be a first round pick or, you know, maybe early second. And I think he has all these attributes to be a successful NFL tight end. A good, well-balanced tight end. That doesn't mean he's going to come in and be a true, you know, difference maker at the tight end position on your dynasty roster. I mean, he could come in and put up seasons like Pat Freiermuth did last season, where, you know, he catches a handful of touchdowns, you know, gets 50 catches, maybe gets, you know, 700-800 yards, totally good enough to be a tight end one, but he's not in that top tier where he is absolutely crushing your opponents because he's throwing out numbers like, you know, like Kelsey does every season or like Darren Waller did a couple of years ago, you know, guys like that, like Kittle does when he's healthy, you know, to get to that level, you know, it's a whole nother level of tight end. I mean, not only do you have to be really, really good, but you have to be basically, you know, one or two on your team and targets at the NFL level. And to get there, we've just seen it. It's really hard to hit on that. You know, Mark Andrews has obviously achieved it in Baltimore. I mean, he is the number one target right now. So I guess that the part that I'm getting at is you got to be really cautious with tight ends. And, you know, again, unless it's almost a two tight end league and tight end premium, I think you're better off just, you know, trying to find a couple of decent guys that can just, you can hold serve, right? You know, you're not getting the stud, but you're not, you know, you're not starting a couple of duds at the position and just taking an L every single week.
Well, just for a little bit of context with that too, is in Devy, nobody had Kittle. Nobody had Andrews, you know, unless you had like a really deep, deep, deep Devy league. You know, most of those tight ends were good in college, but they were not, you know, transcendent. You know, Pitts is a little bit different. I think Pitts was owned. You know, I think everybody wants to get that next Pitts. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's so few and far between, you know, the guys that are going to succeed in the NFL. Waller, shoot, nobody had him in Devy. Kelsey, nobody had him in Devy. You know, it's just, you've just got to, tight ends take a little bit of time typically. You never know what they're going to, you know, they always have that little bit of a learning curve. So, yeah, it's once again, betting on the outlier. I think any tight end you take, you're betting on the outlier.
Yeah, I think you're better off if a guy, you know, gets, you know, draft capital when he's a rookie and starts to look good his rookie season. He doesn't need to look, you know, Kyle Pitts good. It doesn't need to have 1,000 yards as his rookie season. But like Pat Freiermuth, as I brought up before, he had a very good rookie season. I would be trying to acquire Freiermuth for my dynasty rosters. You know, absolutely. Like I think his floor could be what he did last season. This guy could completely, you know, continue to rise and just get better and better. And all of a sudden he has that one season where bam, the guy is now a top tier tight end. He's not there yet and he's not valued there yet, but none of them except for Pitts are their rookie year. So now's the time to go identify guys like that and make your move and get them now. And just know that, man, he has as good a chance as any to make the leap up, and certainly a better chance than a Devy tight end. So yeah, right. I think that's the main point that I want to get into with the tight end position. You know, wrapping up, we're gonna end the podcast with just these guys that we're avoiding or things that we want Devy managers to be cautious about. But you know, any final thoughts there, Dwight?
No, I think it all came kind of full circle to what, you know, I think we're both ultimately making the same exact point, you know, that it all depends on ADP and it all depends on, you know, your willingness to take a risk, you know. And I think once again it comes down to lead size. You know, if you've got the roster space to take the risks, why not? You know, I have a couple of rebuilding teams, you know, where I have one in a Marvel Dynasty league where my team sucks. So I decided to, my 27 man roster is about 17 Devy and like 10 NFL guys. I don't even care, just because, you know, so I obviously took a little more risk there. You know, I do have a tight end and, you know, a couple quarterbacks that I probably wouldn't have taken if I only had 5 guys. So, you know, it just depends on your build and it all depends on the price. It's always about the price, man. Always about the price. So everybody's a good value at a price, but everybody's a bad value at a price too. So,
yep. I could not agree more. I love that. It's a great way to end it. Next week, we'll go to the positive side. We'll go to the side that we, you know, the players that we're going to take ahead of their ADP, ahead of their ranking. So we've got that list forming already. So look forward to that next week. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, to this episode of the Devy Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. We'll be back with more Devy Big Board next week, but be sure to tune in to hear from our friends on the bonus big board tomorrow. Special guest, very exciting. Everyone have a wonderful evening. Take care.